Okay, terrific. Welcome. We would like to welcome you to the May 24th, 2023 meeting of the Historic Preservation Commission. The purpose of the commission is to provide for the protection, enhancement, perpetuation, and use of areas having a special historical, cultural, or aesthetic interest or value in order to promote the health, prosperity, and general welfare of the people. The preservation of this heritage is of basic and vital importance for the development and maintenance of the community's tourism, its culture, and for the protection of property values because of their association with history. This commission is appointed by City Council and is not affiliated with any for-profit or nonprofit organizations. Preservation standards, visual compatibility factors, and design standards as set forth in the City of Savannah Zoning Ordinance are used by the board to determine the compatibility of proposed changes and new development visible from the public right-of-way, including streets, lanes, and sidewalks within the historic, within the Savannah Local Historic and Conservation Districts. The commission cannot consider criteria not specifically identified within the ordinance, items such as land use, landscaping, parking availability, traffic noise, impact on property values, and interior arrangement of structures are not within the board's purview and cannot be a factor in the issuance or denial of a certificate of appropriateness. Similarly, personal preferences will not be the basis for discussions. Please turn off all cell phones. If you're joining us online, please remain attentive and mute your mic until called upon to speak. Each commissioner must state their name when you speak and when you vote on an item. With the commission members present, please identify themselves by name for the record. Hey, Robin, start with you.
Robin Williams.
Pam Miller.
Kirsten Connor. Kathy Ledvina.
Mae Boley.
Virginia Mobley.
Rebecca Fenwick.
Darren Bagley Heath.
Thank you. Signposting. Members of the board receive an electronic agenda the week before the meeting and individually visit the sites of projects. If a project is not properly posted, it is removed from the agenda and rescheduled. Were there any projects not properly posted this month? Nope. Hearing none, we will continue to the consent agenda. These agenda items have been found by the preservation officer to be in accordance with the preservation standards, visual compatibility factors, and design standards, and have apparent consensus with no known objections from the public. Is there any member of the public or the board who wishes to remove an item from the consent agenda to the regular agenda? Can I have a motion to approve the consent agenda?
This is Robin Williams. I make a motion that we accept the consent agenda.
All in favor?
No.
Oh, we probably could need a second.
Rebecca Fenwick, second.
Call for the vote.
Robin Williams, approved.
Pam Miller, approved.
Kirsten Connor, approved.
Mae Boley, approved.
Virginia Mobley, approved.
Rebecca Fenwick, approved.
Darren Bagley Heath, approved.
Terrific. Thank you. Adoption of the agenda. Is there a motion to adopt the agenda as presented?
Virginia Mobley, I make a motion to adopt the agenda as posted.
Pam Miller, second.
Mm-hmm. Robin?
Robin Williams, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
Kirsten Connor, approve.
Mae Boley, approve.
Virginia Mobley, approve.
Rebecca Fenwick, approve.
Darren Bagley Heath, approve.
Terrific. Thank you. Approval of minutes of previous meeting. Minutes from the previous meeting are attached to the agenda. Are there any additions or corrections to the minutes of the previous meeting? Hearing none, is there a motion to approve the minutes?
Rebecca Fenwick, I motion we approve the minutes from the last meeting.
Darren Bagley Heath, I second that.
For the vote, Darren?
Darren Bagley Heath, approve.
Rebecca Fenwick, approve.
Virginia Mobley, approve.
Mae Boley, approve.
Kirsten Connor, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
Robin Williams, approve.
Terrific. Items requested to be removed from the final agenda. Sorry, wait a second. There are none. We will continue. Continued agenda. These are items that have been continued and deferred to the next meeting or a date certain, or that staff has determined incomplete at this time. Is there a motion to approve the continued agenda?
Robin Williams, I make a motion that we approve the continued agenda.
Virginia Mobley, second.
Darren, call for vote.
Darren Bagley-Heath, approve.
Rebecca Conway, approve.
Virginia Mobley, approve.
Mae Boley, approve.
Kirsten Connor, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
Robin Williams, approve.
Terrific. Requests for an extension, there are none. Regular agenda. Applications that are submitted monthly appear on the regular agenda in the following order by district: Victorian District, Kyler Brownville District, Streetcar District, Conservation Districts. Let's begin the regular agenda. Staff will present the application with a recommendation. The petitioner will then have the opportunity to respond to the recommendation. The board asks the petitioner to limit their presentation to 10 minutes or less and only address items identified as inconsistent with the ordinance and questions raised by the board. The public will then have the ability to comment, and the petitioner then can respond to public comments. The board will go into public discussion, at which no further testimony will be received unless specifically requested of and granted by the chairman. We will structure the board discussion on calling by each board member for two rounds of two-minute comments or less. Board members do not need to comment. Let's start with the first application.
Kirsten Connor, I have to recuse myself from this first.
The first one? Okay, this is the petition of Ethos Preservation.
Rebecca Fenwick. I'll be the same. I'm going to recuse. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Petition of Ethos Preservation, 311 West Wahlberg Street, additions and alterations.
Thank you. This is Leah. The applicant is requesting approval to rehabilitate and construct a rear porch addition and for a side yard setback variance for the fire-damaged townhouse located at 311 West Wahlberg Street. This is the rear of 311. This is the neighbor here, just to be clear. And this is the front over here. Per the applicant, the proposed scope of work includes the rehabilitation of the building, including window repair, brick repointing, and roof replacement. Missing windows will be replaced with custom-built single-pane wood windows to match existing. On the rear of the building, the project proposes to add an addition on the third floor to, quote, infill the void above the two stories below an addition of the three-story rear porch. A 6-foot wooden privacy fence here in the rear yard is also proposed. And as I mentioned, the applicant is requesting a variance to allow a 0-foot side yard setbacks. 3-foot is minimum is required. Just to be clear, it's basically to be allowed to reconstruct it how it is or how it was historically. You can see the property lines running right through the historic brick walls. So it's actually a historic condition. So the historic building was constructed in 1871, and it is a contributing resource. A little bit of background. In 2020, the board approved rehabilitation and additions for the other two units, 313 and 315. Which all also had fire damage. And then in May of 2021, you all approved a similar project for this building, but they never constructed it. With regard to the criteria for approval for the variance request, variance shall be consistent with the intent of the ordinance and the comprehensive plan and shall not be injurious to the neighborhood or otherwise detrimental to the public health, safety, or welfare. Staff finds that the variance request is consistent with the ordinance and comprehensive plan, which aims to retain and preserve historic buildings. Special conditions and circumstances exist, which are peculiar to the land, buildings, or structures involved, and which are not applicable to other lands, buildings, or structures in the same zoning district. So the special condition is that it's not common to have historic buildings with 0-foot side yard setback in the Victorian district. And this is not as a result of the action from the applicant, or is it purely financial in nature? A literal interpretation of the provisions of the regulations would deprive the applicant of rights commonly enjoyed by other properties, and obviously the two attached townhouses already enjoy this privilege. The variance, if granted, shall be the minimum variance necessary to make possible the reasonable use. So obviously a large portion of the building burned and it needs to be reinstated. So the request is the minimum to put the building back the way it was historically. All right, so moving beyond the variance into preservation brief two and finding an appropriate mortar match. No information was actually provided regarding the repointing materials and methods, so we'd be looking for that as well as the required 4-foot by 4-foot test patch of the repointing. Regarding the Secretary of the Interior standards, standards 2 and 5, only the brick that is deteriorated from the fire will be removed. Standards 3 and 4, the proposed work does not create a false sense of historical development as the new brick is delineated from the historic brick, even where reconstructed portions of the wall are in their historic location. Standard 6, windows are proposed to be repaired or replaced in kind. The brick that is deteriorated from the fire must be removed where it is no longer sound. This is the rear. Standards 9 and 10, the porch addition is differentiated and reversible. Much historic fabric was lost in the fire on the rear, and the new fabric will be compatible. Staff finds the proposed work to be visually compatible and meets the design standards.
Are there any questions for staff?
I'm not done yet, sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Almost there. Staff recommends approval to rehabilitate and construct a rear porch addition and for the side yard setback variance with the following conditions. 1, provide information regarding repointing materials and methods. And 2, provide the 4-foot by 4-foot test patch and recommend approval to the ZBA for a variance.
We just got notice from people online that they can't see your presentation, so Hen is going to check your PC.
Have to start over. No? Okay.
Not sure what was this.
I'll do it. Yep. Thank you. All right. So Anne recommend approval to the ZBA for a variance from the side yard setback standard in order to allow for a 0-foot side yard setback from the east and west property lines because the variance criteria are met. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Now, are there any questions for staff?
Kathy Levine, I've got one question. Mm-hmm. The brick that is being removed, mm-hmm. is it being replaced with the Savannah gray brick or is it being replaced with the queen brick?
I don't know that answer. Actually, that'd be a good question for the applicant.
Are there any other questions?
Okay, thank you.
Will the petitioner please come forward and state your name for the record? Good afternoon, I'm Kim Campbell with Ethos Preservation.
First, thank you for hearing our petition today, board and staff. Thank you for your hard work with us on this project. We are happy to follow the recommendations regarding the brick and how we're repointing it going on there. And we also appreciate this board's recommendation to the Zoning Board of Appeals for the variance we're requesting on the side yard setback. I am happy to answer any questions that y'all have. I think, Madam Chair, you had a question about the type of brick that's being used.
Correct.
That is in our submittal packet. Here we go.
Right.
I saw that. So the question is, if you're removing deteriorated brick or brick that was damaged, mortars typically damage brick, maybe mm-hmm. not, are the brick that you are replacing, the historic brick, going to be Savannah gray brick or are they going to be this brick?
So our plan is to remove as little brick as possible, obviously, only where it's damaged beyond repair. We're anticipating a lot more mortar repair than specifically to the brick itself. But yes, we would be proposing to use this brick, shown on your screen here, for all replacements to avoid creating a false sense of historical development.
If you had access to historic brick, though, would you consider using it?
We could potentially consider using that. We are also seeking historic tax credits on the state and federal level with that, and they might have a problem with us reusing the damage there.
I think this is Robin Williams. I think the issue of false sense of history has to do with mm-hmm. additions and not replacing materials in kind. So, for example, if you were replacing wood siding on a building and used 100-year-old heart pine as opposed to modern pine, you would be applauded. So I think in this context, using historic Savannah grays where there were Savannah grays would be the preferable course. And I don't know, I'd be shocked if any state tax credit preservationists would have issue with that. In fact, I think where Ms. Levina is coming from is that should be your course of action.
Gotcha. All right, are there any other questions for the petitioner? I've got one more question. Mm-hmm. So I understand that the first and the second floors were originally had the, if you want to call it the addition, the third mm-hmm. floor where you are creating an infill addition. Mm-hmm. I see that portion may be being used by this queen. I just call it the queen brick. I don't know why, because I read it somewhere that it's queen size. The Cherokee brick or the Autumn Heritage Cherokee brick that you're, there it is, the queen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, what I'm stating is the infill on the third floor, right here, you'll be using that brick with matching mortar joints on the historic.
Correct. Yes.
Property.
We're not proposing to do any sort of interesting mix of mortar repoint or pointing and repointing so that it doesn't match. Yes.
Correct. And so I guess my concern, although it is new brick and although it is differentiated with the line, I don't know if it's differentiated enough for the common folk who walk by, because this is an end addition. If it was in the middle, I'd see that 0-0 and you don't have to do the setback. But as an end addition, it surprises me that the addition, the infill addition, not the first and second floor, mm-hmm. just that third floor addition, isn't pushed back like it is required for the Secretary of Interior standards, that the addition be set back from the plane of the main building. And so my question to you is that a possibility?
As currently drawn, it is not. We are looking to regain that square footage. Again, this is a rehabilitation project, so we're not proposing to restore exactly what's there. We are proposing with our request for a variance to regain the footprint that's there, right, and to make something that fits more in kind. You'll note also, you can see it a little bit, I believe this image is here. We're basically proposing to do what has been allowed at the other two properties, right? So this has already occurred. We're not asking for anything. We do feel it would be undue harm to us and would not allow us to have a privilege that's been exercised by the exact neighbors on this exact building to not be allowed to have this zero setback.
I understand that. I look at it. This is those two did not set precedent, and this is a brand new project. And so regardless of what was constructed on the other two properties, I think if the project were to abide by the historic standards, you need to distinguish the addition from the original building by setting it back from the wall of that historic building. If you set it back and it's, you know, one brick, at least that would help distinguish just the third floor. I'm not asking for the first and second because you can see that the first and second was there. But this image doesn't show that the third board is actually recessed and you're building a whole new third floor on top of these two, correct?
We are building a whole new third floor. I would ask the commission, though, if it is inappropriate to use the queen brick to replace the Savannah Grays because it is different than the original, how is the brick not different enough here to differentiate it on the third story addition?
Because it's an addition versus historic. So your historic building should be replaced with the historic Savannah brick. Your
correct.
New addition should be, I don't think the queen brick is appropriate, but that's just, I would see it to really distinguish it as an addition. It should be wood, or it should be a different compatible material. If you choose this queen brick and this commission approves the queen brick, that's, you know. But anyway, I'm just saying I think it needs to be a more of a distinguishable addition, and I'm not looking at the other two properties. A set-in potentially, or changing the material altogether to wood, because that's what typically we require as a board.
Problem, Williams, for what it's worth, I think your point's well taken, and I think in the context of a highly visible addition, I mean, this is going to be looking at this context photo that we're seeing mm-hmm. on the screen, even if you did set it back a brick on what I think is the east side, is where
yes.
you're suggesting. Mm-hmm. Between the proximity of the neighbor's house, the palmettos, granted they're not permanent, and the fact that there would be a rear yard fence, I don't even know if we'd even be able to see that brick, that subtle recess. I'm, you know, in this context and the reality of houses, I think you could almost, without even setting it back, you can almost just assume walk down a lane. And it is an exercise in transformation on virtually every building. You can just assume they've been changed through time with additions and new porches and sleeping porches and bigger windows. And frankly, it looks like the building in the middle, I don't remember the number, the one to the immediate west, looks like it's using a more modern...
313, I think
313
that one.
Is looking mm-hmm. like it's using a more modern brick. It's not just the mortar that's different. And we've had plenty of examples in downtown Savannah where modern so-called Savannah Cray bricks that are reproductions never quite capture the texture and the warm brownish tonality as much as they try. So it looks like, have you chosen a brick? Go back down to your mm-hmm. brick selection. Was the choice of brick to be as close to, while still, it seems like it's about as close to the original color. You could have chosen a red one, but you chose Autumn Smoke, which seems to be close, but still it will be distinguishable.
Correct.
Also,
that is the goal.
Mm-hmm. Also, its texture is very different from, maybe if it would, for the sake of maybe making it more distinguishable, maybe this is where the panel, maybe you try a couple of different bricks in a test panel if you got to set one up anyway, and we could somebody from the board or the staff could go out and say, you know what, maybe the old Mississippi would be the better fit.
Yeah, we would be happy to, as we're doing our test patches and showing how we're going to repoint, to show a couple different kinds of brick with that and review it with staff to make sure that it is appropriately compatible but remains differentiated.
I'm just going to say one more comment. And Robin, I do agree that you're not going to see it. Again, you know, if you take it further, the windows are the same configuration as the historic windows, so that too will make it read almost as if it's not an addition but part of the historic building. And that's my concern. I like the differentiation. I understand the standard and the reason for it. And
I'm gonna juxtapose that entire thing though and say, well, if there's got a distinction, doesn't have to be it doesn't have to be, it can be subtle. And a subtle distinction is where somebody with an educated eye can look at it and go, yes, there's an addition. And then for everything else, it's in context for the layman to see it as a continuation of a neighborhood. And it doesn't, it doesn't have to be immediately apparent. There's a variety of different ways you can set that up.
Well, Secretary of Interior Standards, it almost has to, especially if you're going for
tax. It's a different tone and texture, so it's clearly not original, regardless of whatever shade you use. Visual compatibility to the layman is important as anybody else, because if it's obviously, ridiculously obvious that it isn't, it's an addition, whether it's a different change in structure, sometimes that can be equally as lacking in taste or appeal for a neighborhood. Sometimes it's subtlety is a good thing.
I agree, but I think it needs to be a little bit more distinguishable in order to meet the Secretary of Interior standards. But I'm done with the conversation.
Tax credit specialist. I've never had to do that, but my understanding is Secretary of Interior standards is like any standard, there's a sort of a spectrum of interpretation that can be applied. There's also issues of context, which is incompatibility. So again, I think, especially since we have to set up a test wall, we have an opportunity to reassess this at a future date.
This is Mabel. I'd like a comment. I'm thinking about a particularly fabulous restoration project of the Tabby structures out on Dufusky Island, since we had the pleasure. They're wonderful. They've been very thoroughly restored to look much like they did in historical context, but in order to prevent the false sense of history, there was the inclusion of a Pacific crustacean in the mortar mix that literally no one but a marine biologist would notice, but that was available to the public eye to look consistent with history. And sure enough, the historians on Dufusky love to tell the story that a Pacific Ocean specialist came to the property and said, this is wrong. This can't possibly be authentic because this is a Pacific Ocean crustacean. Thus, I think the moral of the story being, it is distinguishable based on the subtlety, but visually creates a compatible and harmonious historic building experience. And that was a highly regulated project, a restoration project based on the Secretary of Interior standards and tax credits. So that's my parable. And I'm going to side with these guys and say, I think subtle is okay. I would know. I know I handle these bricks every day. I would know it wasn't Savannah Gray brick. I would know it was not original.
But we all have experience and we all have specialty. We're talking layman, and that layman didn't know the Secretary of Interior standards
do not require the distinction to be visible to a layperson specifically.
They do.
Does it?
Can you guys not talk over each other because it's difficult for Bree to take minutes?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
No. Okay.
Are there any members of the public who'd like to speak? We will now enter into more board discussion. Are there any further comments from the board? We'll start with Robin.
No, I think that the petitioner has made a compelling case for what they've proposed.
Pam.
I agree with Dr. Williams. I, as probably the most layman person here, I'd be able to tell the difference.
May?
No comments.
Virginia Mobley, no comment.
Darren Bagley, no further comment.
Can the staff please pull up your recommendations?
This is Robin Williams. I make a motion that we approve to rehabilitate and construct a rear porch addition for a side yard setback variance for the fire-damaged townhouse located at 311 West Waldberg Street with staff's conditions 1 and 2 and recommend approval to the Zoning Board of Appeals variance from the standard that reads, according to the text here, the TN1 setbacks for blocks with contributing structures, sidebar, all the wording here in order to allow for a 0-foot side yard setback.
Virginia Mobley, second.
Further vote? Robin?
Robin Williams, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
May Boley, approve.
Virginia Mobley, approve.
Darren Bagley-Heath, approve.
Motion passes. Thank you. Moving on, we'll wait for our board members to come back. All right, we're going to the Kyler Brownville District, the petition of Savannah Local Initiatives, 712 Lavinia Street, new construction.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the board. This is Caitlin Chamberlain presenting the request for 712 Lavinia Street. The applicant is requesting approval for a new construction small parts 1 and 2 project and 2 special exception requests for an empty lot located at 712 Lavinia Street. This there's 4 different options of design on this. So for this particular address, the petitioner is requesting or presenting roof A, porch 1, which is this one in the bottom right corner on the drawings. The request also includes construction of an 8x8x10 storage shed on a concrete slab at the rear of the property. For the applicant, Lavinia Properties is planned to be 3 single family houses with 1,032 square feet, 3 bedrooms and 2 bathrooms, kitchen, living room, and private parking for each one. They would have the same house design, respecting the neighborhood and historic district standards. And for some context of this area, 712 Lavinia Street is currently a vacant parcel and is part of a series of 3 proposed new houses, including 2 adjacent parcels, 714 and 718, which will be presented after this. The site is directly across the street from the Heritage Place Apartments, and there are several contributing buildings on Lavinia Street and the corner of Ogeechee Road that date between 1898 and 1910. So there's just some street views showing those. And then according to the Sanborn maps, this was a vacant parcel in 1888 and 1898. The earliest map showing a building on the property was 1916, and this is also seen in the 1950s Sanborn maps through the 1966 update. So it's not clear when the dwellings were demolished on this, on these parcels, but it was sometime after 1966. And then for design context, a similar project was approved on October 26, 2022, case 22004599 COA, with the same 2 special exception requests for a property at 1708 Florence Street. For the special exception request, staff finds that the criteria are met. The requests are for allowing a first story exterior expression of 10 feet rather than the 11 feet stated in the ordinance, and to allow for less than 30% transparent features on both of the side facades. So this is one of the sides. Here's the other. The applicant stated to meet the standard, Savannah Local Initiatives would have to add another 5 windows to this 42-foot-long elevation at an additional cost of about $5,000. Additional windows required by the design standards would have to be located in the living room, removing practically all wall surfaces for furniture placement. Placement in the kitchen is not an option, as doing so would practically eliminate wall and or base cabinets. For criterion 1, stating whether the use for which the special exception is being considered would be located, operated, and maintained in a manner in conformance with the goals, policies, and objectives of the comprehensive plan and the provisions of this ordinance. The request is in conformance with the goals and objectives of the comprehensive plan, specifically Chapter 6, which discusses affordable housing, and the provisions of the ordinance also. With the special exception, the structure still reads as visually compatible within the surrounding historic district. Criterion 2 states whether the special exception would not be detrimental to the public interest, health, safety, welfare, function, and appearance of the adjacent uses or general vicinity. And staff finds that this would not be detrimental for the above-mentioned topics, and also meets visual compatibility and may provide the opposite of a detriment in the form of safe and affordable housing rather than a vacant lot. Staff has no additional condition recommendations. Staff found overall the standards were met. However, there were a few areas in need of further clarification, including whether the thin coat stucco, which is proposed on the bottom, is going to be a true stucco as per the ordinance, whether the baluster spacing between the railings will be 4 inches or less, and details regarding exterior lighting, if there is any, which is not shown on the drawings. And then details were not provided regarding the pitch of the porch roofs above the front porch and side entry. Staff's requesting the applicant provides this information, ensuring that it meets the standard that the pitch is between 212 and 612. And then lastly, it's going to be this one right here. Well, staff noted, although the chain link fence is approved for the rear yard use in Kyler Brownville, the portion of the fence that would be visible from the primary elevation and Lavinia Streets does not meet that standard and recommends changing to an approved material for that portion of the fence. So for a staff recommendation, approval for new construction small parts 1 and 2 for the vacant parcel located at 712 Lavinia Street with the following conditions to be revised and sent to staff for final review and approval because otherwise the work is visually compatible and meets the standards. 1, work with staff to ensure that a true stucco is used. 2, show that the distance between the porch balusters does not exceed 4 inches on center. 3, provide information for the pitch of the roof for the porch above the front and the side entry. Provide information about any exterior lighting on the house. And then 5, revise chain link fence and gate portion on the side elevation to an approved material for front and side elevations. And approval for 2 special exceptions for the following standards. In single-family detached, single-family attached, two-family attached, and so forth, the exterior expression of the height of the first story shall not be less than 11 feet, and the height of the upper story shall not be less than 9, to allow for a first-story exterior expression of 10 feet, because the special exception criteria is met, and all residential facades visible from a street shall incorporate transparent features on at least 30% of the ground floor facade. To allow for less than 30% transparent features on both side facades because the special exception criteria are met. Thank you.
Are there any questions for staff?
It's Rebecca Fenwick. I heard you mention 1708 Florence, that the same design was approved there.
It's yes.
Like 3 or so parcels down where the road comes to a T, mm-hmm. Florence and Lavinia. I don't think the house was built.
I don't think it has.
Okay. I guess I should ask the applicant to find out why.
I don't think it's the same applicant.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank you.
Yep. I have a question. The houses that are in the area of similar size that are old historic houses, what is the penetration of the sides?
The windows?
The windows, yeah. How many windows do they have?
I think it just varies, as we can see in some of these photos, and I don't have the various elevations on them. These are the ones that would be the closest. These two together here are the ones closest to the lots where the houses are going to be built, and those may also not have the 30% as built.
This is Robin Williams. If you go to Google Street View and look at those buildings you're just seeing go west a little bit, And you'll see the west elevation of one of those two existing buildings at the corner has virtually no windows. Go pivot there.
Yep.
You can see this is a condition that's pretty common in this area.
I think the houses were pretty close together historically.
Yeah. Well, how close will these be together? There's more than one of these that we're going to be looking at, correct?
Correct, yeah. So this is the three together.
And what's the distance, roughly? Kind of hard to read.
It looks like it's... Yeah.
Same thing.
Kathy Levenick. Kaylin, if you go back up to the roof drawings. Let's see. It says a pitch of 712.
Well, we found for the regular roof it was provided, but for the ones where they have for this one is roof A.
Right.
This isn't shown, and then for this portion as well.
I see. Okay, yeah. I'm looking at roof B has a 712. Right.
Yes.
Are there any other questions for staff? Hearing none, petitioner, would you like to step forward?
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Jonas Katei with Savannah Local Initiative. And we accept the staff recommendations, and with me is Anita Dixon with CHSA. We are working as a partner on this project.
My name is Anita Smith Dixon. I'm with Community Housing Service Agency. We're working with SLI as developers to develop affordable housing in Calle Brownsville, and we also were with NIA, Neighborhood Improvement Association, the two properties that were approved in the past.
Any questions regarding staffs?
No questions regarding.
Are there any questions for the petitioner?
Were you saying you were involved previously with the Florence Street lot?
We are.
Okay.
We are CDFI, and we also serve as financing for them. So those properties are going through the permitting process for approval. So the construction will start within the next 60 days.
Okay. Wow. So, and that's this. Yeah, it's the same design, right?
Just it is. Yes.
Nearby. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Any other questions? Any member of the public like to speak? All right. We'll enter into board discussion. We'll start with Robin.
This is Robin Williams. I applaud your efforts.
Yeah, Miller, no comment.
Kirsten Connor, no comment.
May Boley, no comment.
Virginia Mobley, no comment.
Rebecca Fenwick, I was just going to say that I noticed that the same design is also all along Pennsylvania Avenue, so if you have any frame of reference, that's what they look like.
Darren Bagley-Heath, no comment.
Can we entertain a motion?
This is Darren Bagley-Heath. I make a motion that we approve new construction small parts 1 and 2 for the vacant parcel located at 712 Lavinia with the following conditions, 1 through 5, as written in the staff recommendations, and approval for the two special exemptions in the standards outlined in the proposal also.
Robin Williams, second.
Call for the vote, Robin.
Robin Williams, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
Kirsten Connor, approve.
May Boley, approve.
Virginia Mobley, approved.
Rebecca Fenwick, approve.
Darren Bagley-Heath, approve.
Motion passes. Thank you. We'll continue on to the petition of Savannah Local Initiatives, 714 Lavinia Street, new construction.
Caitlin Chamberlain again. Rather than go through the entire presentation again, I will just point out that with this project, the only real difference that stands out is the facade of the porch and the roof. So there, for this address at 714, it'll be roof B, porch 2. And that's pretty much the main difference there. So we found the same standards were met, had the same concerns, slightly altered the recommendation just for the pitch of the roof above the side entry, but not the porch, since for roof B, that one is shown. So if there's really no more to, no difference from the other one. So for the staff recommendation, it's also approval for new construction, small parts 1 and 2 for the vacant parcel at 714 Lavinia Street with the following conditions to be revised and sent to staff for final review, because otherwise the work is visually compatible and meets the standard. So 1, work with staff to ensure that a true stucco is used. Show the distance between the porch balusters not exceeding 4 inches on center. 3, provide information for the pitch of the porch roof above the side entry. 4, provide information about any exterior lighting on the house. And 5, revise chain link fence and gate portion on the side elevation to an approved material for front and side elevations, and then approval for the 2 special exceptions for allowing for a first story exterior expression of 10 feet because the special exception criteria are met, and to allow for less than 30% transparent features on both side facades because the special exception criteria are also met. Thanks.
Are there any questions for staff? Will the petitioner please come forward and state their name?
Hey, I'm Juan Oscategui again with Savannah Local Initiative. We do accept the recommendations.
Anita Smith Dixon, Community Housing Service Agency.
Perfect. Thank you for being here again. Any questions for the petitioner? All right. Are there any members of the public who would like to come forward? I guess we will enter into board.
Ms. Levine, if you'll remember to ask if anybody's online.
Is there anybody online? No. Great. We will now enter into board discussion. At this time, all public debate is closed and no further comments will be accepted. We will start with Robin.
No comment.
Ann Miller, no comment.
Kirsten Connor, no comment.
May Bowley, no comment.
Virginia Mobley, no comment.
Rebecca Fenwick, no comment.
Darren Bagley-Heath, no comment.
Okay, we'll close board discussion and I'll entertain a motion.
It's Robin Williams. I make a motion. We approve for new construction, small parts 1 and 2 for the vacant parcel located at 714 Lavinia Street with staff conditions 1 through 5, and approve 2 special exceptions as defined by the staff report.
Darren Bagley-Heath, I second.
Robin Williams, approve.
Ben Miller, approve.
Kirsten Connor, approve.
Mabel Lee, approve.
Virginia Mobley, approved.
Rebecca Fenwick, approve.
Darren Bagley-Heath, approve.
Great. Thank you. The motion passes. Okay. We'll continue on to the petition of Savannah Local Initiative, 718 Lavinia Street, new construction.
All right. Caitlin Chamberlain again presenting for 718 Lavinia Street. And again, everything is identical except for this address at 718. It will be the proposal of roof C, porch 3. So that is the first one here in the top. And for this, staff again recommends approval for new construction, small parts 1 and 2 for the vacant parcel located at 718 Lavinia Street with the following conditions to be revised and sent to staff for final review and approval because otherwise the work is visually compatible and meets the standards. 1, work with staff to ensure true stucco is used. 2, show that the distance between the porch balusters does not exceed 4 inches on center. 3, provide information for the pitch of the lower roof portion of the front elevation and the porch roof above the side entry. 4, provide information about any exterior lighting. And 5, revise the chain link fence and gate portion on the side elevation to an approved material for front and side elevations, and approval for the two special exceptions for the following standards: to allow for a first story exterior expression of 10 feet because the special exception criteria is met, and to allow for less than 30% transparent features on both side facades because the special exception criteria are met. Thank you.
Thank you. Would the petitioner, are there any questions for staff? Would the petitioner please like to step forward?
All right. Buenos Cátegui with Savannah Local Initiative. We accept the recommendations.
Anita Smith Dixon, Community Housing Services Agency.
The petitioner accepts recommendations. Are there any questions for the petitioner? Are there any, is there anybody online who would like to comment? Okay, hearing none, we will enter into board discussion.
Thank you.
At this time, all public debate is closed and no further comments will be accepted. We'll start with a 2-minute comment from Robin.
Robin Williams, no comment.
Kim Miller, no comment.
Kirsten Connor, no comment.
May Boley, no comment.
Virginia Mobley, no comment.
Rebecca Fenwick, no comment.
Chairman Bagley-Heath, no comment.
We entertain a motion.
Virginia Mobley, I make the motion that we accept staff recommendation, both the approval of the new construction with the 1 through 5 additions and the approval of the special exceptions 1 and 2.
Rebecca Fenwick, second.
Robin Williams, approved.
Kim Miller, approved.
Kirsten Connor, approved.
May Boley, approved.
Virginia Mobley, approved.
Rebecca Fenwick, approved.
Darren Bagley, he's approved.
Motion passes. Thank you so much. Moving on, the petition of Josh Ward, 2205 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, rehabilitation and new construction.
This is Jamie Zarillo presenting the staff recommendation for 2205 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. The applicant is requesting approval for a rehabilitation of the main building and for new construction small parts 1 and 2 of a carriage house in the rear. So I guess some background as to where this is located, as well as an aerial of the property. This is the current principal building on the property. It was damaged by a fire, which caused the adjacent building to burn down and be demolished. You can see evidence of fire damage. Staff's estimate of when that fire actually occurred is sometime between 2011 and 2012. And as of right now in this portion of the block, this is the last remaining contributing building, and it was constructed in 1901. So the applicant is requesting approval for rehabilitation. They're proposing to maintain the distinctive features on the structure, such as the porch elements, as well as repairing in-kind material, which is deteriorated. They're maintaining this historic metal roof on the porch. But unfortunately, all of the windows, historic windows, were lost. So currently it's just boarded openings. They are proposing to keep the openings and to install wood windows. Oops. They're also proposing to construct this carriage house in the rear. They are using newer materials or more contemporary materials such as fiber cement and wood clad windows. However, it does meet all the design standards. Get a further. Staff did have one comment as for meeting one of the standards relating to a proposed casement window. The standard requires casement windows to have light divisions. There's one proposed casement window which does not have, or is proposed to not have, any light divisions. So staff recommends either to propose light divisions for the window, or since the standard allows a fixed or hopper window, to either change it to those two window types or to provide light divisions. But beyond that, staff's recommendation is approval with that condition. And I will accept any questions.
Are there any questions for staff?
You might have just navigate maybe to where that window is so
yeah.
I could see it.
Here it is in the schedule. It's window B. It's the elevation for it.
Oh, there it is. Yep.
Kind of hiding.
Like historically, I've seen that exact window in proportion without divisions, just yeah. As an aside, but I realize it's, I know you're just telling us what the ordinance says, so thanks.
Kathy Levine, I've got a question.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the columns on the porch, I understand that there aren't any bases existing right now, but I also understand that a lot of this porch has been demoed. Would you think that there were originally bases on those columns? Some sort of base?
I would think that these are as close to the original as what is existing is as close to the original.
It appears they're square 6x6 to just above the railing height, and then they get chamfered and turn into curving. Am I reading that photo right?
I would think.
If that's the case, they would have bases because it'd be almost like a newel post turning into a, so it's, that is your base in effect.
Any other questions for staff? Will the petitioner please come forward and state your name for the record?
Yes. Hi, my name is Josh Ward with Ward Architecture and Preservation. I'd like to thank staff for their comments regarding some of the comments that were brought up. We also felt that that particular casement window that you see here didn't necessarily justify a mutton or a break, but we're happy to go with whatever recommendation the board proposes. I don't think it'd be detrimental if we added one in, but we're happy with the design as it is too. And regarding the columns on the front porch, correct, that currently has a historic square base that then turns once you get above the railing. So that's the existing condition we're going to keep. Other than that, I'm happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Are there any questions for the petitioner? Hearing none, is there any member of the public that would like to comment? Please state your name for the record.
My name is Ryan Jarles, Director of Preservation for Historic Savannah Foundation. This is one of our revolving fund properties, and so we have reviewed these drawings, and we do agree with staff's recommendation, although we do agree with Ms. Fenwick's notion about the window, and we don't see a reason for there to be any division within that window, but we agree that we will sort of go with whatever the board wants because we would like this project to get moving. It's been sitting a long time, as you can tell. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other members of the public? Is there anyone online who would like to comment? Okay. We'll now enter into board discussion. We'll start with Darren. Oh, at this time, all public debate is closed and no further comments will be accepted. Darren, we'll start with you for public comment.
I'm going to echo Rebecca and Ryan's comment. I would leave that small window as a fixed window to keep it as because in context rather than alter it. But the standard's the standard. So if it has to be an opening window, then it has to have a division, I guess.
Robin Wins, just for clarification, you said fixed window, but it's a casement.
No, if it was a fixed window, didn't say in the recommendation that if it was a casement, it would be, if it was fixed, it would be able to remain as it is. Yes. So, no, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
I understand that in my preference, it would be that you just have it as a fixed window rather than a casement because it is in keeping with, you know, context throughout the rest of it as far as size.
Right.
But if you're going to have an opening window, then it, you know, you have to go with the standard. That was all I'm saying.
Sorry.
No worries.
Thank you.
Rebecca. It's probably a bathroom or a pantry, and it might be nice to have air in there. So, yeah, a casement with no divisions. That's my preference.
Virginia Mobley, agree with Rebecca.
May Boley, just want to say that I'm really excited to see this house get restored. Really, really excited. That's all.
Kirsten.
Kirsten Connor, I agree with Rebecca's comments, and I also agree with May's comments. I'm very excited for this project.
And I can agree with the excitement, Pam Miller.
Robin Williams, no comment.
All right, ready for a vote? I mean, excuse me, a motion?
This is Rebecca Fenwick. I make a motion that we approve the project at 2205 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard with a modification to staff recommendation to allow for a casement with no divisions on the side elevation where that window is proposed.
Robin Williams, second.
Call for the vote. Darren?
Darren Begley-Heath, approve.
Rebecca Fenwick, approve.
Virginia Mobley, approve.
May Boley, approve.
Kirsten Connor, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
Robin Williams, approve.
Motion passes. Thank you. Moving on, the petition of Josh Ward, 2207 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, new construction.
This is Jamie Zarella presenting the staff recommendation for 2207 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. This is right next door. So this property completely burned down, and the petitioner did provide a photo of what had existed previously, which were almost identical houses that were constructed around the same time. But this house has since burnt down. Again, staff's estimation was 2011, 2012. But again, just some further photos of the current unimproved lot and the context. So the applicant is proposing to construct a new principal building and accessory dwelling unit. They are using the existing structure as context for this structure, although they are proposing to add additional details as well as use contemporary materials such as fiber cement. However, all the proposed materials do meet the design standards and are visually compatible. However, this is the proposed front elevation of the principal structure. And the rear. And this is the proposed accessory dwelling unit. And then as well, they have some 3D renderings. Towards the end. So staff found this to be visually compatible and also meet the design standards. It's based on the historic context of the adjacent structure, but also introduces differentiated elements with material and design. Staff only had one comment. There is a requirement for a private sidewalk that connects the entrance of the main building to the public sidewalk. Staff didn't see it in the site plan, so we're just requesting that the applicant include that in their final plan. However, beyond that, staff's recommendation is approval with that one condition, and I'll answer any questions.
Are there any questions?
This is Robin Williams. Can you go back to the something that shows what those bump outs are?
Right here?
Yeah. Are they on both sides?
It's just this one side, which is the...
Oh, I see. That's a rear elevation on the right. Okay. So what is that?
That's a proposed detail from the applicant. I'm sure he could explain more like the design process for it, but also show the elevation for that. This is context.
A floor plan might be helpful to just see what the...
the first floor.
Thank you.
Are there any other questions for staff? Hearing none, will the petitioner please come forward and state your name for the record?
Again, this is Josh Ward with Ward Architecture and Preservation. Thank you, staff, for the comments. As you can see, we've referenced what was here historically, and we have obviously some good evidence of what was similar to it with the existing building at 2205. So we've used the massing and the side hall sort of plan to develop this new architecture, this new building. But we did try to, in some areas, give it a little bit more contemporary feel. We weren't trying to copy what was there. And Mr. Williams, to answer your question about that side bay, we took that as opportunity to introduce a new element to this building. And as you can see on the ground floor, it corresponds to the powder room, and on the upper floor, it corresponds to the landing of the stairs, which I thought was a nice element to have like a reading nook or something up there. So just an opportunity for us to, again, massage the massing that was there historically.
Thank you. My principal concern is with the rafter tails, which are an arts and crafts style feature, and this is not a craftsman house. This is more of a colonial, derivative of a colonial style, which both of these houses were. Mm-hmm. So having rafter tails just on this feature is a bit of an anachronism. And so a boxed in soffit would be probably more compatible, even acknowledging your desire to add this as a feature. It just seems, if you had the whole thing as a craftsman style or something, but rafter tails don't just sort of randomly pop out of this design language typically.
Agree. We felt that, you know, we're using this bay as a new element, sort of a contemporary element, and the rafter tails are a way to articulate the structure by extending the rafters out so that you can see that. Again, that was our attempt to bring some more contemporary elements to the building. The rest of the soffit has the enclosed soffits, you know, with a beadboard underneath, but in that one element, we thought appropriate to do that.
Yeah, well, rafter tails would suggest it was constructed around 1900 to 1910. So it's, I don't see rafter tails as being peculiarly contemporary. If you used, exposed metal, or, you know, there are other ways you could make it contemporary, but rafter tails, in my opinion, I just come from dealing with a site visit to arts and crafts bungalows. It's right on my mind right now. Rafter tails I've been talking about this morning. And to me, we're talking about compatibility and appropriate for a context. And this type of house typically wouldn't have had it. And I appreciate your desire to have something contemporary, I would say, well, revisit that design detail.
And we did cut them to shape. They're not just, you know, sawn on the end where you might see with a craftsman where it's just a clean cut. We've got some, you know, slight detailing to the way they're the profile. So
can you show me a detail then?
Let me show you the wall section. So that is the rafter tail detail.
That's really subtle. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, we can move on.
Uh, Any other questions? I was just considering. Are there any questions for the petitioner? Are there any members of the public that would like to comment? Please state your name for the record.
Brian Jarles, Director of Preservation for Historic Savannah Foundation. This address here as well is one of our revolving fund properties. We actually purchased it at the same time as the address you just saw. We just want to thank Josh Ward and the wards for their detailed set of drawings that they've presented today. We think it fits in beautifully. I hear you, Mr. Williams, but we did review these drawings and we felt that they were appropriate. This is a modern building, and I'm not in the realm of designing for people. And in my opinion, any building could have any feature at any time period, really, if you think about it. In a lot of poorer communities, there were rafter tails showing because they didn't have the ability to, you know, articulate designs like other people were doing in their time period. So I would just say this is a very small feature. I don't find it very detrimental to the design in any way, and I would just ask that the drawings get approved as is. Thank you.
Are there any other members of the public? Is there anybody online that would like to comment? All right. Would the petitioner like to respond to public comment? No. We'll now enter board discussion. At this time, all public debate is closed and no further comments will be accepted. I'll call on each board member and we're going to start with Darren.
I have no further comment.
No comment.
No comment.
No comment.
Kathy Levina has a comment. In regard to the detail, I think it actually adds interest to the house. I do find it the need to be more contemporary. I'm not exactly sure if it's an oriel window or if it's a bay window. Obviously, if it's a bay window, it's supposed to go all the way to the ground, or therefore, so it's an oriel window. And if it's an oriel window, it doesn't really go up to the roof. It should stop. It should have an ending. And maybe I'm reading that wrong based on this roof detail. But I think I would. Can you scroll back for just a second to show the window, the feature? So if it's an oriel window, I would just think that it would actually read as a distinct feature and not be incorporated into the existing roof. That's my comment.
Kirsten Connor, I say I would agree with Ryan Jarles and Josh Ward on the rafter tails not being an issue. It is a contemporary build, and architectural features are typically inspired from all eras, and they have provided modern details. So, and it's a small feature, so I really don't see an issue with it, and it does provide extra interest.
Pam Miller, no further comment.
Robin Williams, no comment.
All right, can we entertain a motion? I'm sure there's a brave soul on the board. Come on, Pam.
Pam Miller. I recommend that we approve new construction, small parts 1 and 2 at 2207 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard with the following conditions, number 1 as written.
Kirsten Connor, I second.
Call for the vote. Darren?
Darren Bagley, approve.
Rebecca Fenwick, approve.
Virginia Mobley, approve.
Mabel Lee, approve.
Kirsten Connor, approve.
Ann Miller, approve.
Robin Williams, approve.
Terrific. Thank you. Moving on. Petition of Josh Ward, 923 West 40th Street, rehabilitation.
This is Jamie Zerillo presenting the staff recommendation for 923 West 40th Street. The applicant is requesting approval for rehabilitation and a new addition to the structure. This is just some references to where this is, as well as Sanborn maps and an aerial of the property, which it's this structure right here. So the applicant is proposing rehabilitation to the structure as well as an addition. As you can see in this rendering here, move down to the elevations. Currently on the structure, there is asbestos siding. The applicant did provide new drawings that where they're specifying that they are keeping the existing siding and they're not replacing it. In addition, they are also proposing to maintain windows on the property, as well as to replace with shingle roof. Then moving on to the rear of the property, they are proposing an addition, the side elevation. They are proposing an addition. It is set back slightly horizontally, which I'll show in the site plan, from the main structure, and it is subordinate in height and mass. And staff found that it didn't meet the standards for additions, which do require it to be subordinate in height and mass, as well as to be differentiated per the Secretary of Interior standards, which is better illustrated on their site plan. Is up here. This is the existing structure, and then the proposed addition, which it is slightly set back on the sides. So staff didn't find too many concerns with this one. We found that it met the standards both for the rehabilitation and the addition. Again, there was that standard that came up with light divisions for casement windows, which we find would be this window. So staff did include that same condition as heard previously. So with that, our recommendation is to approve with the condition that light divisions be added to the proposed casement window, which is window C, or change it to a fixed or hopper window to conform to the standard. And I'll answer any questions the board has.
This is Robin Williams. Can you go to the side elevation? Go back where there shows a bump out. I don't know which side elevation it is, but that one.
Mm-hmm.
And can you zoom in on those two windows, E and D? And is that window like really hard? Does that window wrap around the corner, or why is it so close to the corner?
From the drawings, it doesn't wrap around the corner. I would defer the applicant as to why it's placed that way, though.
Kathy Labrana, I've got two questions. First off, on that same elevation, is that 30%?
Staff.
The openings?
Well, it would only, the 30% would count for this addition.
Uh-huh.
And staff found that this would count. So we wouldn't be looking at this portion because that's existing openings.
So those two windows are 30% plus the,
well,
I guess
the calculation, the calculation would be the whole, it would be the whole structure. However, we wouldn't, if the existing windows are not taken into consideration with that. So.
I'm confused. Can you say that again? The
yes.
Porch, the setback, that's what I was wondering. The setback of the porch counts. Okay, great. Mm-hmm. And then is it asbestos siding or is it aluminum siding? It goes back and forth, so I wasn't sure.
It's asbestos siding.
It's asbestos, it's lap asbestos siding. And what's the exposure? Do you know?
Would defer that to the applicant.
Thank you.
Yep.
Any other questions for staff? Will the petitioner please come forward? Please state your name for the record.
Yes, again, this is Josh Ward with the Ward Architecture Preservation. A little confusion, sorry. Let me clarify. So currently the building has vinyl siding over asbestos siding. Right. We will be removing the vinyl lap siding you see to and in keeping the asbestos siding that's underneath, which is the larger textured shingles that you see around this part of town. So those will remain in place. Where we need to install a new one, there are alternative safer options, so we're going to keep that configuration on there now. Regarding this window, Mr. Williams, it is actually a corner window that turns. Sorry, you can't see. Yeah. And you can see, you know, this is a kitchen where that bay is. We were playing off of the form that you see currently on the historic part where it's not a corner window, but they do have two windows very close to that corner. But for our design, we made that into a corner window. And I'm just, let me see if you can see. Yes, I was just going to show you that from the elevation. So this is this is what we're proposing there. There's the corner window in the corner of that bay. And regarding staff's comment on the casement window, in this particular case, I think it would be appropriate since we have a larger casement to add a division in that window. So we're happy to do that.
Are there any other questions for the petitioner?
This is Ron Williams. I'm just curious, what will your lot coverage be after this addition? What's allowed in this district?
Mm-hmm. Okay, on the site plan, I believe. So the TR3, you can see down here, 50% max allowed, and we'll be at 38. It's a fairly deep lot, as you can see in the existing building, just four, you know, central hall with four rooms, pretty small. So,
Kathy Lidvine, I've got a question for the petitioner. Mm-hmm. In regards to the roof shingles, are you replacing both the existing? Well, are you replacing the existing with the matching shingles for the addition? Are you going to see a distinction between historic roof and addition roof, or is it all going to be the same shingle?
We were going to keep the same shingle, and the differentiation would be in the size or the height of the roof pitches. The new roof will be lower. It's right. But yes, in this, we will replace all the shingles to be consistent with one another.
And then the lap, well, it doesn't matter because your laps change are, you know, 5 and 7, right, on the new addition. And then the historic will be the shingles.
The historic will be the asbestos shingles, which I believe I didn't get a measurement, but it's the typical 1 foot or so.
Right, right. But then the lap does alternate in the addition.
Correct.
Right. Okay. All right. So my questions. Any other questions for the petitioner? Thank you.
Thank you.
Are there any members of the public that would like to comment? Is there anybody online who would like to comment? We will now enter into board discussion. At this time, all public debate is closed and no further comments will be accepted. I'll call on each board member for their comments. Robin Williams,
no comment.
Ann Miller, no comment.
Kirsten Connor, no comment.
Kathy Ledvina has a comment. I just feel that the new addition, the massing of the new addition, really overwhelms the original design of the house. I just don't feel like the size is compatible with the historic building and that the new construction, it doesn't read as subordinate to me because it essentially doubles the size of the original house. I understand its setback. I understand. I just feel the massing just overwhelms this very small structure.
May Bully.
I'm just looking at the street photos. I think maybe if it was on a corner, I would tend to agree. But since it's not, I don't think I have a problem with the massing. Since it is going to have another structure sort of obscuring that back end from the public view. So that to me just makes it a little, but I can see your point. But I'm going to say that's all I have to say.
Virginia Mobley, no comment.
Were there any staff recommendations?
There was one with the casement window.
Oh, just the window. Okay. Yeah, no comment. Thank you.
Darren Bagley, you fucking co with me, Bowie.
I've got one more comment. Excuse me, Kathy Ledvina. I just want to verify that the transom is remaining above the door and that the door, it shows it as a 6-panel, but on the specs, it has a 4-panel door. And I was just wondering what the truth is. Maybe the petitioner can answer that question.
This is Josh with Ward Architecture and Preservation. Yeah, the front door will remain as the same and the transom will remain as well. I believe that spec was maybe for there's a rear porch. I believe that's what that was.
The 4-panel?
Yes. Well, it could have been, let me see.
Right there.
Correct. That's actually, that's just interior doors. Sorry, that 4-panel is for the interior. This glass one, that's the rear door that will be new.
And the 6-panel is existing?
Correct. Now we'll stay on the front.
Terrific. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other comments for board discussion?
Since we had an earlier petition where the casement was, Ms. Fenwick made the point of not subdividing a casement window and keeping a casement, what's the opinion on this one, which is slightly wider proportions?
I think I, even more so, don't mind because it's in an addition here.
Can we have staff recommendations posted?
Any further comment by the board? No? I can entertain a motion.
May Bowley, motion to approve. Rehabilitation and a new addition at 923 West 40th Street with staff condition.
Is there a second?
Before we second, if I have a feeling Ms. Fenwick wants to jump in on this one.
Yeah, do you mind if I, do we need to, does that have to be seconded before it gets amended?
No.
I don't mind, go for it.
Okay. Let's make a new motion.
Okay. Sure.
Rebecca Fenwick, I motion we approve the rehab at 923. No, can't do that.
Are you can ask her to amend her motion?
Yes, right.
Is that what you want to do? Because it hasn't been seconded, so you can ask her to amend it.
And then I have to do it?
Commissioner Bowley, will you please amend your motion?
I'd be so happy to. You would like to remove the condition?
Correct.
All right. Motion to approve rehabilitation and new addition. What?
It's a standard.
So just modify it.
So how I worded it previously, earlier in the meeting, was that I was modifying the staff recommendation to allow for a casement with no divisions. I did.
Mm. But we're
but we've empowered. Changed things that have been required in the past, no?
Good question.
Oh, jeez.
No, because it'd be thousands.
How do we feel about hopper windows?
Hopper great. Fixed.
Hopper
window. So then with the condition, he is going to change it to a hopper window.
I got a thumbs up.
So we're just going to keep the motion as it was.
I have a question.
Can
you
please
go back
that?
And revise the original one that we did earlier where we approved it with the exception? We need to go back and alter that?
We have to go back and alter it then.
And will you be okay with a hopper window on that one as well when we go back to it? Yeah, okay.
We'll have to bring it up and reconsider it.
All right. Can you restate the motion, please?
May Bowley, motion to approve rehabilitation and the new addition at 923 West 40th Street with staff conditions.
Rebecca Fenwick, second.
Is there a second?
Yeah, Rebecca Fenwick, second. Here.
Thank you.
Robin Williams, approve.
Ann Miller, approve.
Kirsten Connor, approve.
May Boley, approve.
Jenny Mobley, approve.
Rebecca Fenwick, approve.
Darren Bagley, Heath, approve.
Motion passes. Thank you. Can we consider that right away, or does it have to be moved to the end of the agenda?
I would wait until after you do this last one.
Okay.
You have two more, the next two, and then bring it back up.
All right.
And if does it matter if one of the commissioners who voted before Pam is Pam?
Pam.
Yeah, so I'm going to have to leave shortly. So does it matter that I voted before and won't be here afterwards?
We can go ahead and address it. I just realized we were going into a new district. That was the last one under this under color brown. So let's go back and reconsider it at this point. If you'll make someone will make a motion to reconsider whichever item that was.
The staff.
For 2205. Yep, there it is.
This is Rebecca Fenwick. I make a motion that we reopen the case for 2205 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard.
Kirsten Connor, I second. Robin, the vote.
So what are we voting? Is
reopen.
Oh, Robin Williams, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
Kirsten Connor, approve.
Jenny Mobley, approve.
Rebecca Fenwick, approve.
Darren Bagley-Heath, approve.
Terrific. Reopened. Do we need to have the presentation or anything again?
We don't.
Move forward?
We just need to move forward on another motion for the project.
Well, this is Darren Bagley-Heath. I propose that we approve, follow staff recommendations for this and approve the request for rehabilitations and new construction small parts 1 and 2 for 2205 Martin Luther King Boulevard with the following condition to be submitted to staff for final review. Revise the proposed casement window to have light divisions or to be a fixed or hopper window.
Is there a second?
Kirsten Connor, I second.
All in favor? Start with Darren.
Darren Bagley-Heath, approve.
Rebecca Fenwick, approve.
Virginia Mulvey, approved.
Kirsten Connor, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
Robin Williams,
approve.
May Boley, approve.
Motion passes. Thank you. Moving along to the streetcar district. Petition of J. Elder Studio, 414 West 42nd Street, new construction. Small part 1 and 2.
All right, thank you. This is Leah. The applicant is requesting approval for demolition of two non-contributing buildings and new construction small parts 1 and 2 for the property located at 414 West 42nd Street. I'm just going to zoom in here. This is the site plan of the existing buildings. You can see their footprint. And then here are the two buildings. It's this wood one and then the concrete block one. The proposed apartment building is three stories with a two-story portion on the west end over here. This is part of a larger project. If you all recall, there were two three-story mixed-use buildings on the south portion, or to the south, I should say, of this site that you all approved recently. It was 2613 Montgomery Street. The two buildings on the site, they're both non-contributing buildings. Staff was unable to definitively confirm their dates of construction from the Sanborn maps. In 1916, let's see, here, this was the site. In 1916, the site was occupied by two deep wood structures, definitely not the current wood structures due to their shape. Different wood structures are in this location. In subsequent maps, therefore, it's likely the wood structures were built sometime after 1966, which is this map. And the concrete block building first appears in the 53 map and is still present, and that's this one here. So regarding criteria for demolition, any non-contributing resource must first be evaluated and considered for contributing status. They must be associated with events that have made a significant contribution to the broad patterns of our history or associated with the lives of significant persons, embody distinctive characteristics of a type, period, or method of construction, represent the work of a master, or possess high artistic values, or have yielded or may be likely to yield information important in history or prehistory. So staff doesn't find that any of the above criteria are met. There's no known events of people which these buildings are associated. They do not possess the work of a master, nor are they likely to yield information. Staff does recommend approval of the demolition. Further, it's highly likely the buildings are built outside the period of significance, which is 1799 to 1935. You all are allowed to attach additional conditions when approving a demolition, and staff is recommending that the buildings be deconstructed rather than demolished as an additional condition. All right, so this is the street view here, and this is the building. The ordinance allows three stories up to 45 feet. And this building is three stories, 38 feet, 10 inches to the highest point, excluding the chimneys. The building is one story taller than the contributing buildings to the west and one story taller than the contributing building to the east. The building's height is visually minimized through the use of the two-story porches. The building has been divided into three distinct architectural sections, which staff finds minimizes the impact of this unusually wide building compared to those on this block. This is the front elevation here. The proposed materials are brick for the main body. Let me zoom in a little bit. Cast stone for the foundation and the windowsills, and steel C channels for the porch elements here. Staff does not find the cast stone foundation or the C channels visually compatible. With regard to design standards and permitted materials for exterior walls and new construction, brick, stone, wood, true stucco, or wood or fiber cement siding. Brick is proposed for the main body and cast stone is proposed for the foundation walls. Again, staff does not find cast stone visually compatible, and it's not listed as a permitted material. We need additional information on the simulated divided lights. We need to ensure that they're the correct size and the correct mutton style. The standard in the ordinance regarding porch says porch elements shall be constructed of brick, painted or stained wood, wood composite, precast stone, marble, sandstone, or slate. So the standard is not met, as I mentioned, with the series of steel C channels. So this is a horizontal railing here. I believe that we still need the 4 inches on center for those to meet code. So we just want to confirm that is standards met. For the site plan, we need confirmation on the electric meter and refuse storage area locations. And then for parking access. So you can see here they're showing the parking in the rear, but not showing how you access that parking. And then regarding a minimum of 5 feet must be provided between a fence and a building. We're not sure if that standard is met. We're not sure sort of what the idea is here with this fence. I think if it doesn't return the corner, they should be okay. So they might just have to change that a little bit. So staff is recommending to approve the demolition of the two non-contributing buildings in new construction small parts 1 and 2 for the property located at 414 West 42nd Street with the following conditions to be submitted to staff for final review and approval because the proposed work is otherwise visually compatible and meets the standards. And that's one, to deconstruct the buildings rather than demolish them. revise the cast stone foundation walls to brick. Simulated divided lights must be 7/8 or less and shall simulate traditional putty glazing. 4, revise the porch elements to a material permitted by the ordinance. 5, locate the electric meters and refuse storage area on the site plan. 6, provide information on the site plan regarding how the parking will be accessed. And 7, a minimum of 5 feet must be provided between a fence and a building where they are parallel. And I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Are there any questions for staff?
Virginia Mobley, are these considered 3 separate buildings or is this
one building?
Mm-hmm. One building. Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Any other questions for staff?
So this doesn't hit the standard for large construction?
It does not.
We got a question for staff. Kathy Ledvina, when you state deconstruction, does that include all elements? For instance, wood is basic, but the concrete block, is the concrete block going to be, you know, proposed to be crushed and recycled? Is what when you say deconstruction, what exactly does that mean?
I think that
recycled, you know.
Yeah, I think that'll end up being whatever the contract is between the owner and the deconstruction contractor. I don't think we can say like you must save the, well, I don't think we should say, you know, do this with the CMU, do this with the wood, you know, that kind of thing. I think it should be more between the two of them.
But so what, you're not saying anything. You're saying deconstruct. I mean, but yeah, that doesn't give it that.
We don't have a definition in the ordinance for it.
Okay.
Yep.
And there's no percentage or anything like that?
No, not as of yet. So I know the subcommittee has been was working on one. I think we should get back to that.
Okay.
Yeah, I think
thank you.
You want to go, May, were you going to say?
Should I comment since we're working on that in the subcommittee? We definitely do need to resume that. So a couple of different ways it's accomplished in other cities is like percentage, for example, or there's a certification process for qualifying deconstruction experts, which are then trusted to do the best they can without specific requirements on the contract. So that's the kind of language we can look at to make it more clear in the future.
One more question to staff. What are the setbacks from the street? It doesn't show in the drawings.
Oh, it doesn't?
I could not find them in the drawings.
Let's see. This one's 10 feet, and this one's 9'4".
That's not 10 foot from the street.
Oh, this way?
Yes.
They're only required to be the average of the other ones, so I guess they didn't technically dimension it. It's 7'9" to the front facade of this one right here, not including the porch.
So the porches aren't included in a setback?
They did not dimension them in the setback, no.
So the requirement 5 foot, which is the average of the street, where are you measuring that from? To the porch or from the main facade of the building? Or
it doesn't have to be 5 foot. It can be the average of the street.
I thought it said in the write-up the average was 5 foot. Didn't I read that? Yep, there it is. 5 foot front yard setback. So that's my question.
That might not be right. Nope, that's not right. I don't know where that came from. It's definitely not 5 feet. So.
Okay, so we just need to verify whatever the average is of the street.
Yeah, I mean, it's shown in the site plan there. The adjacent buildings are shown and they vary. So what they're putting there is definitely.
So you feel comfortable with the proposed setback?
I do.
Okay.
I do, yeah.
All right.
I obviously just put in the wrong number there. So. Yeah, there's quite a variety there.
That was my question. Questions for staff? Will the petitioner please come forward and state your name for the record?
Jerome Alder with JLD Studio. Can you help me?
Sorry.
Thank you. Well, firstly, I wanted to thank staff for working with us on this. This is our probably third time submitting it. The first time we had a zoning issue, which I think you guys were well know, zoning board was part of that. Now we've actually redesigned the building to this point. With that, as for the staff recommendations, we actually agree, and in the presentation that I'm about to show, which is just the revised drawings, we've actually adjusted our drawings to address many of these comments. As for the first point of deconstructing, yes, we plan on doing that. Second, with the revising of the cast stone foundation walls to brick, we have done that. And I can show you that actually before, since the site plan's right here. So I'm going to zoom in a little. We have shown where the utility meters will be located, as well as the refuse storage area for the building. And we're also showing the side yard. So you can see here with the fence that we show that distance now. So we do meet that requirement. We are also showing the proposed lane, which currently there's a easement access agreement that's in the works with the attorneys, with the property owners who actually own all of these properties, who previously owned this property. And we are dealing with that access agreement because they also need part of, it's strange, but the property, we are actually blocking their full access lane that they're trying to provide for their buildings on this side. So that will be the proposed lane access to parking in the back. We have revised a brick water table. And the simulated lights, yes, we will ensure that they do meet the standard. Now, as for the porch elements, what we are hoping to do is distinguish it from other historical precedents around with the double porches using the steel channels painted. We believe that that's a contemporary nod that we believe is appropriate. And we also try to ensure that we follow the rhythm and pattern that is similar to those in its context. At the very end of this, I can show examples. Oh, and here are some 3D views of what that may look like. Zoom out some. On the side of the porch would have wood, so we're going with wood underside, so it would not be exposed steel. It's just the columns themselves in a similar expression to this. I think that's all I have at this point. And if you have any questions, please. Yeah.
Are there any questions for the petitioner? Go ahead.
Virginia Mobley, you referred to the access to the parking
Yes. As
a lane. Is it going to be public right of way or is it a drive, private drive?
It's a private drive is how that easement is currently being developed.
So the owner of this property also owns the corner?
Let me get this. I'll show you on this. Okay. This property here is our property, or these three lots. The owner of these lots here owns, that's where this easement is being asked to be, right here in that 20-foot section. So it'll be, there will be a gate here, and that's the access to the driveway.
So in looking at what's on the screen,
yes,
5 and 6 are going to be giving up
this,
the property for the driveway.
Yes, and our property will be giving up this section. It's, the site is chopped up into a lot of different lots. It's very strange. But that's currently what's being worked on.
Okay. And this may be a question for staff. If they give up that for a driveway that is open access to multiple property owners, are they changing the configuration or the square footage of their lots?
No, it's just an easement.
It's just
granting access. So, no, it's not. It doesn't
Will
change
it. Will it affect any renovation or additional building?
No. It does not.
This is Darren Bagley. Whoever owns five and six, that easement overrides anything that they can do because they've granted an easement to the other property owners. So as long as that is in place,
then they can't expand their buildings.
They wouldn't be able to expand their buildings any further because they've granted an easement to the other property owners. Yeah.
Okay.
And those are also historic contributing buildings on that side. Yeah,
but not over the existing easement, but they could propose a new carriage house or something on the back of those properties now because they have access to.
But there's no space for that at all.
I never say never.
It's true.
Okay.
Kathy Levine, I've got a question for the petitioner. Looking at your window configurations, I noticed that there aren't any headers over the windows, and it states that there's a lug sill for below.
Yes.
You know, I think a header, especially on the front facade, obviously would add a little bit of detail and excitement to the property. But my question is on the lug sill, is it projected, and what's the projection beyond the brick facade, the main brick facade?
There it is. It's very minimal.
So you can't really even see it.
No, but you'll notice it. So we want to keep, so we're going for a more contemporary brick detail.
Right.
And that's why that's there.
So everything's flush, essentially.
Relatively. I mean, the windows create the depth.
The windows what?
Create depth on the facade, if you were to think. Because we do have a significant setback.
Right, 6 inches. I see that. Thank you. Then my next question is, why are these chimneys so big? To me, it almost weights it down, and they're 4'8", I mean, which is 5 feet. I mean, it just seems like these chimneys are massive.
They're wide. We thought that it was appropriate for what we were going for. We do need to let it pass a certain height, but that's something that we can consider and look at for revising the width.
Just think, with hurricanes, I'd be terrified. But on a more obviously architectural, it to me that those chimneys are overwhelming features on the property. And I just didn't know if there was a reason for the height of and height than the east west size, but really the depth on that.
It was mainly
42nd Street
design, but as I said, it's something we could look at and revise the width.
All right. Any other questions for the petitioner? Are there any members from the public that would like to comment?
Could I ask the petitioner a question?
You go back a step if there's, but I don't, there's no public comment waiting. For the porch posts.
Yes.
What? Have you considered other options?
In terms of when you say other
the design, so, you know, knowing, so that doesn't meet the standard, right? So,
that was actually a question that we have been asking because it does not prohibit. Does it prohibit steel or it does not? I think it only prohibits vinyl.
Okay.
It gives other materials, but it has not explicitly said steel is prohibited. And there are examples of steel columns in many places for contemporary details.
Okay.
So that's
Leah, the columns do meet the standard. Sorry.
So it's what Jerome said is that it doesn't prohibit steel. And there's that section in the ordinance that says that you all can approve materials that are not listed as strictly prohibited as long as they perform satisfactorily in the environment and are visually compatible.
Sure. Okay, thank you both.
Okay.
Are there any other questions for the petitioner? Is there anyone online that would like to make a comment? Okay, we will now enter into board discussion. At this time, all public debate is closed and no further comments will be before Rebecca came back. Sure. Anybody from the public will restate it just in case? No. Terrific. Now we will enter into board discussion. At this time, public debate is closed and no further comments will be accepted. We'll take comments from each board member. Pam?
I have no comment, Pam Miller.
Kirsten Connor. I actually think that the chimneys are a significant architectural detail and add a lot of interest to the building. So I'm actually in favor of the height and dimensions of that. So I just wanted to disagree with you on that, Kathy. The chimneys?
Chimneys?
Yeah. And that's the only comment I have.
But the chimneys aren't even shown on this projection.
You can see them up there a little bit.
They're not shown. Those chimneys are huge. They're above the height of the roof. They're huge. Those aren't shown. I've got Kathy Levine. My comment is with the transitional building, the two-story building. It doesn't really show the one-story historic buildings to the west, my feeling is that to be visually compatible, that the two-story building would make that transition a little smoother if it incorporated a front porch or something. I mean, according to the standards, there needs to be a front porch or a covered or uncovered stoop for all entrances for new ground floor residential construction. And I see the historic precedent, the historic example that is being mimicked here. But I just feel that the transitional building between the three-story new construction and the one-story historic contributing buildings needs to read a little bit smoother. It needs to connect the new to the old. In just a little bit greater of a fashion, and if that includes more detail to that front facade, such as a one-story full porch or something, it would just, I think, make the transition a little bit smoother. Go ahead.
I wonder, do we want to take out condition number 4 if the material is, which is revised porch elements to a material permitted by the ordinance? So per the discussion about steel not being prohibited, is that a thing we want to take out? Just want to put that forth. I'm cool with the porch and I'm cool with the chimneys. And those are my comments. Thank you.
Virginia?
I agree with Kathy, is that that two-story structure really doesn't blend or transfer or carry over any of the character of the west side buildings. And I'm not sure how, whether it is a full porch or a small porch or a different configuration around the windows or what, but I think something needs to soften the impact of that very stark front.
Rebecca? Rebecca Fenwick, I think to be more visually compatible, I would also advocate for the window headers and or a heavier cornice. And I'm curious about the spec of the windows, but I know that's going to get worked out with staff. Also, I think it's more visually compatible to have a different material for the foundation as opposed to brick and brick, because I know that was part of the petitioner showed some drawings that I think they had been worked on after staff comments were sent to them. So that's what I saw was looked like all brick.
Darren?
I'm going to walk down the middle here. I kind of agree with Virginia and Kathy regarding the porch, but I also really appreciate the chimneys. I think they are intriguing and a good design element.
Pam, further discussion?
No further discussion. Pam Miller.
Kirsten? Come back to you. No.
Sorry, I'm thinking.
You want to come back?
Come back.
Okay. May?
I don't have any further comment.
Virginia?
Again, when I first looked at the two-story building and the configuration of the first floor, I thought it was a corner store, when in reality it's the middle of the block. And that's just an addition to what I said earlier.
Can I make my comment now?
Sure. Sorry. Kirsten.
Kirsten Connor. I also disagree about trying to create more of a porch on that two-story building. Not that I would have a problem with that, but I do see that the current design, in my opinion, seems to be very historically compatible. I mean, there are next door house has these small stoop side entrances as well, even though it's a one story. So how is that, you know, that I think that's taking a node from that. I don't see a problem with that at all. Again, I really enjoy the chimneys and I think it's an excellent architectural feature. And that's all for my comments.
Kathy, I like the chimneys. There's no problem with the chimneys. It's the height of the chimneys. And I appreciate that there's actually a soldier course in the chimney because that gives excitement to the brick. Whereas there's the running bond brick pattern is very plain and very simple. So at least we've got a little bit of excitement of brick pattern going on in the chimneys. I believe that they are too high and too massive. I like the chimneys. I like the presence of the chimneys. They add interest.
Kirsten Connor, I think one of the things I like most about the chimneys is the presence as well, and the presence comes from how tall they are.
Okay. Becca?
I don't have any other comments.
Darren Bagley-Heath, no further comment.
Ready for a vote or a motion? Excuse me.
Leah, can you put the staff recommendation list back up? Thanks. Madam Chair, may I ask a question of staff?
Yes.
Number two, is that a required? So again, asking about modifying things that staff has said.
No, that was a staff visual compatibility thing. So no.
Okay. Okay. Thanks.
Question of staff as well, Kathy Lidvina. Is it not required that there are headers over windows?
Mm-mm. No. Well, it says, what does it say? What it says is, bear with me. There it is. Framing members shall be covered with appropriate trim. Trim shall feature header, surrounds, and pronounce fill where appropriate. So staff didn't necessarily find that it was required to have a header.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Any other questions for staff? Can you please put the conditions back up? Would anybody care to make a motion? Should we have another round of comment?
I think the most commented upon, I think, issue would be the porch. So maybe the porch people could bring that one back up. Maybe we decide which way we want to go.
Rebecca Fenwick, it seems to me like number four perhaps doesn't apply, because the material that they've proposed is not strictly prohibited by the ordinance. Okay. I'm just reading through everything again, so.
Kathy Lidvina, I'm gonna reiterate my comment that I think we need to relate the two-story building to the one-story historic contributing buildings a little bit. Western buildings, since they are historic and they are contributing to the mass, the three-story building to the east. I again understand that there is a recess for those porches, but when that's a one-story versus a two-story application, and I think the recessed is lost in that two-story interpretation. I do not feel that that two-story is visually compatible with the contributing buildings for which it's visually related. I just think the transition between the one-story and three-story needs to be, again, it's very important because the three-story is a huge new construction when you take it against those one-story contributing buildings. The transition is the key, and the key is this two-story property. And I feel that the transition needs to be a little bit smoother. How that is translated is up to the applicant, how it's designed, whether it be a new porch, however he feels it. But right now, to me, the transition isn't there.
What does everyone else think about that?
Any other comments?
I mean, for my part, I'm still okay with the porch. I think those of you who have more of an issue with it should probably weigh in. And I'm also not sure how we would word that as a condition.
Right.
Like, how do we word it? How would we word it? To say we need a better, smoother transition from one to the other to change the porch, you know? Is that
this visual compatibility would be the hint, the link, yeah.
Yeah. Any other comments? Can we entertain a motion?
I'm happy to put one on the floor, but okay. All right. I've made a lot of motions today. Rebecca Fenwick. Motion we
approve the demolition of two non-contributing buildings and new construction, small parts 1 and 2, property at 414 West 42nd Street, with staff recommendations to include the revision of the recommendations. Number 2, to allow for a different foundation material. And the removal of number 4 and the addition of an additional condition to either incorporate window and door headers or a more substantial cornice, the headers being on the front facade. Only on the floor.
May Boley second.
Call to vote. Pam?
Pam Miller, vote to approve.
Kirsten Connor, approve.
May Boley approve.
Virginia Mobley, approved.
Rebecca Fenwick, approve.
Darren Bagley Heath, approve.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Moving on to the petition of Hanson Architects, 510 East 32nd Street, rehabilitation.
Kirsten Connor, I have to recuse myself.
Rebecca Fenwick, recusing.
Thank you. This is Leah. The applicant is requesting approval to rehabilitate the property located at 510 East 32nd Street. For the applicant, the exterior of the project has previously been approved for vinyl siding removal and in-kind repairs to the exterior, paint, and new asphalt shingle roof. With the vinyl siding removed and more exploration completed, there is extensive damage to the siding. And this is the applicant when I say we. I'm just reading their portion. We will continue with the in-kind repair and replacement of these damaged areas. The exterior trim was modified when the vinyl siding was installed, and we are proposing to bring the trim back to the original aesthetic. The historic windows of this home were replaced with a metal window at some point in the past. We're proposing new wood 2/2 true divided light sash packs. Non-historic metal railings on the front porch will be replaced with a wood railing and picket assembly. There's an existing single-level rear entry assembly that has deteriorated and is detaching from the main house. We believe this was some type of back stoop or a portion of a previously existing rear stair. And that's this here. You can see it over here. This is proposed to be replaced with a slightly larger single-level rear entry porch and utility room with a low-pitched asphalt shingle hip roof. And that's here, you can see that. So this is existing demolition and then proposed. The exterior siding of this will be a vertical tongue and groove wood siding. The porch rails and column will be wood. This is a historic building that was constructed in 1900 and is a contributing resource. With regard to the Secretary of the Interior standards, all materials proposed to be removed are non-historic. The work proposed restores the building. It does not create a false sense of historical development. Materials such as the metal windows have not acquired historic significance. Reconstructing the existing rear addition and adding a porch does not destroy historic materials, are differentiated, and if removed in the future, the essential form and integrity of the historic property and its environment would be unimpaired. With regard to design standards, get in here close. Pretty minor. The existing concrete block piers are proposed to be retained, and they're going to add a hog penning in between. And the ordinance requires a setback of 3 inches, and they have a 2-inch setback, so or inset, I should say. So we just need that changed. You can see in these three drawings up here, this is existing for the front entry. This is proposed demo. And then this is new. So the altered front entrance will be returned to a pair of doors under the still existing transom window. The door material and specification were not provided with the submittal packet, so we'll need that. The new rear door will be wood. Rear porch will be wood. We want to ensure that it's painted or stained. And with regard to additions shall be subordinate. Go back to this floor plan for that. Shall be subordinate in mass and height to the resource. Additions shall not obscure any character-defining features. And additions shall not be on the primary front facade of the resource. So staff finds that the standards are met for the new mudroom and porch addition on the rear. It's likely, per the Sanborn maps research that we did, that the porch in this location that's proposed to be removed was the original rear porch when it was closed, which may be why it's separating. So we're recommending that if historic porch members are found upon demolition of the rear addition, that they're salvaged. Staff is recommending approval with the following conditions to be submitted to staff for final review and approval because the proposed work is otherwise visually compatible and meets the standards. That's one, the horizontal boards between the foundation piers must be inset a minimum of 3 inches. Two, provide the material and specification for the new pair of front doors. Three, the new rear porch must be painted or stained. And four, if historic porch members are found upon demolition of the rear addition, they're to be salvaged. And I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Are there any questions for staff? Kathy Labana, I've got a question.
Mm-hmm.
Did you visit the property?
We do, yeah, we go to each property.
Mm-hmm. So you were, I don't understand these doors to nowhere. So
the doors
in your, to nowhere,
Which ones?
On the second floor.
Oh, yeah.
The four panel doors with transoms over them, which pronounces it, the opening as a door, which means it's functional.
This one?
Yep. And it leads to the roof of the porch,
mm-hmm.
but you can't use the roof of the porch because there's no railing around it.
True.
So you're,
I don't know if that's a future intention to put a, I don't know.
So on your exploration of the house, did you see what the window size, was it elongated?
I don't remember. Sorry. Probably a good question for the applicant.
Good photographs?
Yeah, there's photos.
Yes. So, yeah, that clearly was that size originally. So it's been.
Yeah.
And I understand that, but if you would, there's no reason for a door if there's not a railing.
Well, there was a door there originally, so you've got to.
No, there's an opening there. Could be a window. It could be. I mean, we don't know what it was. It could be an elongated window. So if you put that window back, obviously that again, it has a purpose, and you would have a railing around this maybe porch. Was there a two-story porch though? Did we see anything on the historic research?
I didn't notice one. Nope, it was one story. 508 had a two story.
Still does.
Yeah,
it does. Still does.
Just don't understand the door to nowhere. Two doors to nowhere. Just didn't know if you had any comment, if you saw anything. Okay. Are there any other questions for staff? Nope. Will the petitioner please come forward and state your name for the record?
I'm going to put that up for you. You want that up yet or no?
The one that I sent into you?
Yeah. Sorry. Right.
Yeah, that's great. So that's the new drawings?
Yep.
Okay.
That's the one you sent in.
Great. Good
Good afternoon or evening at this point. I'm Eric Poljung with Hansen Architects. Happy to be in front of you all today with this project. I wanted to just initially address the staff comments, which are recommendations that we're in agreement with. So I just wanted to clarify that we have submitted additional drawings, which I may not maneuver very well. They are in here and I'm happy to go to them. But the horizontal boards between the foundation piers and item one are recessed 3 inches now. And we are providing additional specifications for the pair of front doors to staff. We are working with a millwork company right now to have those custom made. Once we have their shop drawings for review, we will bring them to staff. The new rear porch, we do intend to have that as painted material and have noted the drawings accordingly. There is some limited use of a kiln-dried treated material. We are proposing a solid color stain to match the trim color of the house for that, because it does not peel and chip the same way that paint does on pressure-treated material. And we did agree and have noted accordingly in our demolition plan on number four that any historic members that are found in the demolition of the rear porch would be salvaged. And Ms. Levina, I heard your comments about the doors to nowhere. We are working with the organization here in town for tax credits on this project. And we have an interior door on the back of the house that we think went out to maybe an old staircase from the Sanborn Mass.
Right.
So we've worked closely to keep that opening or that door in place. It is sealed shut, but it's there. Previously, it was covered over a vinyl siding. So the rear door to nowhere.
No, there was a
remains.
Step. There was a step going down. It
yeah.
was to nowhere.
Yeah.
There was a purpose.
Once upon a time, yes.
Yes.
So that, and that is no longer going to be there, but we're keeping the door in the aesthetic of the door. But we're sealing it because we don't want to go out on the roof. Similar on the front, from the interior, we're discerning that it is a door that was there. And we don't know exactly why. But that's what we found. So that's what we are proposing to go back with, is a door that would fit that opening with the transom window above it. But that's the best answer I have for you. The Sanborn maps support the porch that is there. We've struggled with that. It doesn't feel very natural to us. It doesn't seem similar to other historic properties that we've been involved with. The depth of it is more shallow. It's just peculiar in how it's organized. But from what you tell, is there, so we're working with what we have. So if you, I don't know if y'all would like me to document it in the drawings, but the information is provided as updated information to staff in the set that's up on the screen now. And one comment I did want to just clarify. In our original presentation and submittal to this project, we intended to go with a 2-over-2 window. We have found that it was recommended from the tax credit advisors that because the windows would not be historic, that we maintain a 1-over-1. So it is still a wood sash pack, but a 1-over-1 divided light pattern, which we get to that just to make sure you see that. Here we go. So you can see the sequence of the windows there. Then I might as well go ahead and show you the detail where we're moving the, well, we have the notes here for the horizontal boards to be recessed. And we have that in our detail as well, updated for your review. I'm happy to help with any additional questions.
Are there any questions for the petitioner?
That where you're proposing to put the door on the second level above the roof, would you consider making that a window? Because I can tell you in the block down that I live in, there are multiple houses in their original condition that have at the same design a elongated window that is a 1-over-1. And they've never had a porch there. And one of them does have a railing around that,
that area.
Section, but it has always had a window there.
Mm-hmm. So the only piece I can comment on is we have proceeded with design based on the idea that it was a door and that we would be closing it, and we have our bathroom layout covering that opening with the closed door.
So the bathroom is going to have the door in it?
But the door is sealed.
Pardon?
The door is sealed. It's a non-operable door. So it essentially serves as a panel on the outside of the house.
So you couldn't use a window as a panel?
Not with a shower, I don't think.
You could.
Can you speak a little more? This is May Boley. Can you speak a little more to the interaction regarding the tax credits? How's the conversation going about those doors? Can you catch us up a little bit more?
What we know is that those doors were there, and that's why we're keeping them the way they are. And that's what we're proposing, to maintain them for the purposes of the tax credits. We don't know that there was a window there. What we see is evidence of a door.
Okay. So y'all haven't gotten feedback yet from those boards. Okay.
Right.
All right. So potentially, if you were to propose a window, they may be amenable. In your experience, I don't know. I've never worked with these boards.
I think it would depend, I suppose, on how we present that information of we see this is the jam of a window versus this is the jam of a door. But we're seeing it as a jam of a door.
Well, yes, understanding that it probably was a door. Nobody's arguing that. But my question being, obviously, we don't want to be conflicting with your tax credit body.
Right.
You know, if they're telling you it has to be a door, it was a door, so it has to be a door, fine.
Right.
If they're telling you it was a door, but we appreciate it doesn't go anywhere, now, so it would be cool with a window, but we still want you to maintain the opening, right? Then we'd all be in agreement, is what I'm saying.
Captain Levine, have you done any dissection? I mean, have you looked into the jams, and have you looked to see if there are pockets for what it waits or anything?
The exploration that we did, we found the hinges.
Of a door.
Right.
And the front. And the front facade. The back facade, I understand that door. And I agree that it's being closed is a nice way to handle that situation. In the front facade.
You don't think it was a door?
I don't know. It could be just like Virginia stated, and I've seen them. I'm sure everybody has seen them.
Yeah.
Just that one portion right outside has a railing around it, not going because of the pitch of the roof. And you have seen it. And it wouldn't be indicated as a two-story porch either. It would still be one because,
it's
in all technicality, it would be one porch.
Mm-hmm.
I was just curious as to whether or not you opened up the jams and saw if it was a window, you know, if window weights, you know, were present, or if you just saw, yes, there once was a door, therefore we'll keep the door. And the transom, did you find indication that there was a transom there?
So it's just studded in the opening.
Just studded in.
Right.
So we're just looking at an opening.
Right. But the rear door has the transom.
The rear door has the transom.
Yes.
Well, that would make sense.
So we're thinking front to back. We're seeing the same thing, but we don't have a door. There.
Okay.
At the back, we
have
the door.
Well, we can't recreate either. We can't falsify, but.
And I totally understand what everybody's saying about the taller window. I've seen plenty of examples of that. And that's what I went into it thinking we had.
And it is possible to close that window off and still use it as a bathroom. But I mean, I've done it in several projects.
Yeah, where you just black out the glass.
You blacken out. Well, and you build. You actually build the wall behind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you build the flat panel.
Yeah.
So it is possible to do it. Any other questions for petitioner? Let me just look at mine.
I will note that there are the back doors on the second floor in houses in my immediate site that have not been altered, do have transoms.
Mm-hmm.
And they do, one of them in particular mimics the front door, which is downstairs.
Hmm. So you've seen that as well, then.
But I'll tell you a little history as to why these windows were elongated, so that the ladies could watch who was going down the street. they had lace curtains, and they could see who was out walking.
A great feature. any other questions for petitioner? Are there any members of the public who would like to comment? Is there anyone online? No. Thank you. We will now enter into board discussion. At this time, all public debate is closed and no further comments will be accepted. We'll start discussion with you, Pam.
I have no further discussion.
I agree with Kathy about the door in the front. I think the one in the back, totally great. Keep it. Door to nowhere on the back side of the building. It was there. Door in the front. There's not enough evidence to support that it was a door. It could have been a window opening, and the bottom framing could have been removed when somebody converted into a door in the 80s and were chilling on the roof because they like, you know, TV shows where kids do that. So I would say I think better for appropriateness to convert that front opening to a window.
I concur with Kathy and with May that I think that should be a window instead of a door, even if it's a fixed window that's blocked up.
I concur with the previous three comments.
Any further discussion? We can now entertain a motion.
May Boley. Motion to approve the rehabilitation of the property at 510 East 32nd with staff conditions plus an additional condition that the front fixed sealed door be redesigned into a window.
Virginia Mobley, second.
For the vote, Pam?
Ann Miller, approve.
May Boley, approve.
Virginia Mobley, approved.
Darren Bagley, Heath, approve.
Motion passes. Thank you. Okay.
Sorry, I just had to take a breath.
We did it. Continuing on, approved staff reviews. A list of staff reviews is attached to the agenda. Are there any questions of the staff regarding the approved staff reviews?
No.
Terrific. Going forward, notices, proclamations, and acknowledgments. Ooh, there's a lot. we just need to.
Yeah.
We just need a vote for acknowledgement
of the right. Staff reviews.
Correct. So a vote for acknowledgement. We don't have to take a vote. We just all have to acknowledge, correct? We all acknowledge. Perfect. Do I need to read them? Yes. I'll read them for the record. The report on work done without a certificate of appropriateness for the May 24th.
Oh, I think she is talking about the staff reviews, not the reports.
Oh, I need to read those as well. Oh, okay.
You don't need to read the reports.
Okay. Approved for staff review. There's a vote of acknowledgement, so we acknowledge and approve of staff-approved decisions. Petition of Michael Brannon, 410 East Victory Drive. Petition of Jessica Glenn, 534 East Wahlberg Street. Petition of JDH Installation, 219 West 35th Street.
Nobody got that.
What happened? Who?
Our other members.
Oh.
That were recused for the last night.
Oh, they took off?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. Petition of Superior Fence and Rail, 14 West 38th Street. Petition of Paul Davis Restoration, 513 West 37th Street. Can I continue?
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay. Notices, proclamations, and acknowledgments. Do I need to read these as well?
No.
But we do acknowledge them.
Yes.
Okay. Other business. Is there any additional board business to be discussed? I think the one thing that I would have is a subcommittee meeting. Typically it's held before this meeting, but it makes it a long meeting. Are people willing to?
Well, the other two members aren't here right now to discuss it.
So.
And we won't be able to do one through in June because Robin won't be here. So.
Correct.
So the time we get scheduled is from July.
Do you want to try to do a subcommittee meeting?
I need two members.
You need three. You have to have three to have a subcommittee.
But I can try to schedule one between now.
Or July, you mean?
Pardon me?
Or July?
Not before the meeting, but away from the meeting at a time. You know, these meetings are long. It'd be even longer if a subcommittee meeting started at 2 or even 1:30.
I mean, you guys liked it that way, though, didn't you? You did it that way on purpose.
Is that how you'd prefer that, Darren? Okay. All right. All right. So, no?
No.
Well, I'll put it out. I'll put it out. How about that? I'll just put it out. If not, we'll definitely have one soon.
I think we're still missing a chair, right, for the subcommittee?
Yeah.
So that's maybe some business we can handle before the next time we're able to meet. So at least that's done. And we can do that off the books.
We can do that off the books, can't we?
Is that right?
I don't think so, no.
And vote for it next meeting?
No.
Right, but Robin won't be here, so you can't.
Yeah, so we can't even discuss it outside of the meeting?
No.
Okay.
It has to be within the confines of the meeting.
Got it.
Okay, well, sounds like it has to be in August? The confines of the meeting.
The subcommittee, yes. If it's something that you're discussing, anytime you're discussing it as the committee, it has to be in a meeting.
Okay. But not a meeting time. Yes, it does.
Well, you're going to send an email to the subcommittee members individually?
Yep.
And ask about a meeting date. That's fine, individually, not to everybody on the subcommittee.
Correct. Just the members of the subcommittee.
Right.
That's okay.
One email per subcommittee person. Don't send one to a
group. I have to do it individually. I can't do it as a group.
Correct.
I understand that.
Okay.
Okay. I've been tasked. Is there any other additional board business to be discussed? Adjournment. Thank you, everybody, all HPC board members, staff and petitioners, and the public, because there aren't anybody left. Our next Historic Preservation Commission meeting will be held on, wait a second, June 28th at 2:30 p.m., 3 p.m. Is there a motion to adjourn?
Much good.
Thank you.